Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway.
It is with deep regret, but also with deep gratitude, that I am suspending our campaign today.
Senator Kamala Harris ended her campaign for president this week, citing a budgetary shortfall. The Democratic National Committee started with the most diverse slate of presidential candidates in history, but it's now looking at a dwindling roster for 2020. And Harris was the only candidate of color who had qualified to be on stage for the Democratic debate in December. And while other candidates have until December 12th to qualify, so far all of the candidates on that stage will be white. Senator Cory Booker told BuzzFeed's AM to DM that he was disappointed at the lack of diversity.
You just sort of like don't understand how we've gotten to a point now that there's more billionaires in the 2020 race than there are black people.
But Harris's departure from the field also follows political obituaries in the New York Times and the Washington Post detailing just how her campaign unraveled. Fellow candidate Julian Castro criticized the media's treatment of Harris and her campaign in a video tweeted out by his campaign staff.
In the last few days, to see articles out of Politico, the New York Times, Washington Post, that it basically trashed her campaign and focused on just one small part of it, and I think held her to a different standard, a double standard, has been grossly unfair and unfortunate.
We're going to examine that double standard when it comes to how the media has covered Democrats in the 2020 race for president. And for the most part, candidates of color like Booker, Harris, Castro, and Andrew Yang have not enjoyed the same type of fawning media coverage as their white male counterparts. For more on this, I'm joined by Nidhi Prakash, politics reporter at BuzzFeed. Nidhi, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tanzina. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with Kamala Harris. She had a great first debate. Slowly, we began to see her star power sort of dwindle away. How much of that do you think was due to problems within the campaign, which we should say were very real? And how much of that do you think was part of the media's portrayal of her?
I think there are so many factors that play into that. And certainly some of the reporting that's come out in the last couple of weeks about the troubles within her campaign, as you say, that is very real. There is also a real thing that we need to examine about the role that we're playing as reporters, you know, in a mostly white press corps as well, in the amount of attention and the kind of attention that we've been giving to candidates of color and specifically women of color.
When you say we as reporters of color need to pay attention, what do you mean? Are you all saying that you're not doing enough? Or is it that the largely white press corps that follows politics is not focusing on the right things?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest. I mean, it's pushing to make sure that we are covering candidates of color as much as we can, just in terms of giving them the same kind of attention that other candidates are getting. But it's also about asking different questions. And something that sort of comes to mind for me when I think about that is Julian Castro being asked kind of pretty early on, you know, why don't you speak fluent Spanish? Which, you know, is a pretty sort of, I would say, embarrassingly kind of superficial question to ask a third generation immigrant. But, you know, I think like given the press corps is mostly white and there weren't people in that room to sort of say, well, there is an explanation. Let's talk about this in a more nuanced way. That is the conversation that we ended up having.
You have followed Julian Castro's campaign very closely. There was another moment, I think, that stood out in terms of the coverage of Castro, specifically during the second debate when he took on Joe Biden.
They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
To buy in. If she qualifies for
Medicaid, are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
And there were people who said, you know what, Joe Biden is supposed to go up against President Trump, who does not pull any punches. Julian Castro kind of took a punch there. Was he treated unfairly? Is that part of the overall media tone that you're noticing with Castro in particular?
Obviously, there is a tendency to kind of cast people of color as being, you know, that whole idea of like angry people of color, as opposed to sort of like just having a reasonable debate. And I think there might have been a little bit about that, definitely, in the way that that moment was covered with Castro.
Talk a little bit about gender in all of this. Hillary Clinton, in her campaign, obviously against Donald Trump, there were many gendered critiques of how she was covered versus Donald Trump was covered. But I think Elizabeth Warren, in some instances, has also gotten, you know, maybe not so favorable media coverage. Some have called her too professorial, for example. What role does gender play in the coverage here of these candidates?
Some of those ideas of likability that sort of mysteriously only really matter for women candidates have never really gone away. That's something that I think maybe in this election cycle is sort of being expressed through this idea of electability, as well. That's something that Harris brought up. And I think it's clear that part of that narrative is sort of questioning whether a woman or a person of color can be competitive against Trump. So it's sort of manifesting in different ways. But I think certainly with Elizabeth Warren, that's something that I've heard from voters as well in Iowa and New Hampshire, that they like her, but she's too stern or too professorial and isn't electable.
A lot of what we hear when it comes to candidates of color, and we should recall that Julian Castro, who's now running for president himself, was just in the last presidential election with Hillary Clinton and President Trump, was considered a front runner for Clinton's vice president. That often happens with candidates of color. Just yesterday, Joe Biden was asked if he would consider Kamala Harris a vice presidential candidate. How does that narrative around the media favoring a white presidential candidate over women and minorities, you think, come to play into this?
I mean, I think that that is the kind of underlying assumption or bias that we have to be very conscious of and try and sort of, you know, not fall into, right? I mean, particularly, I think, white reporters and white editors. And I think that's the other important point, is that it's not just the reporters on the ground, but it's also like the media structure that we have, where editors and managers are, you know, even more significantly white. That's, you know, we have definitely a lack of diversity on that level as well. Understanding that that historically has been the default, and that has been, you know, for many reasons, the kind of assumption that a white person is going to be the person in that position of power. It's really important, I think, to acknowledge that and to be able to kind of think through that consciously about how we're then seeing candidates of color.
Going forward, we now have fewer diverse candidates on the roster than we did before. None of them have really gotten the amount of support, at least in the early polls, that the front runners have gotten. You've been covering this campaign cycle. You're now on the road with Joe Biden. How can the media do better when covering these candidates and just the overall narratives?
The starting point, and this should be true really of all reporting, is to start from a point of examining the assumptions that have been made in previous campaigns, historically, and even just personally and individually as reporters and editors. I think that that is, you know, fundamentally the best place to start from. That gives us the best possibility of covering candidates of color fairly, which, I mean, I think, to be clear, that I don't think we have to be uncritical to be fair to candidates of color and to women. But I think that it's important to sort of understand that historical context and some of the assumptions we might be making.
Nidhi Prakash is a politics reporter at BuzzFeed. Nidhi, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.